content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Dogster Magazine, Animal Wellness Magazine, and Capster.com. We'll begin today's program with some articles from Capster.com. We'll start with an article titled, Is Your Cat Acting Weird? 5 Reasons Why, by Angela Lutz. Have you noticed your cat acting weird recently? A cat might act weird for silly or serious reasons. Here's how to figure out what exactly is going on. Even when you've lived with them for years, cat behavior can be weird, and sudden changes are frustrating. It may seem like your misbehaving cat wants to ruin your life, but she might actually be telling you that something is wrong. Here are 5 things that might be happening with a cat acting weird. 1. A cat acting weird might signal depression. A cat acting weird might be depressed. Remember how it felt the last time you got dumped? You stayed in bed all day, didn't change your clothes, and ate only when your mom called and insisted that she was going to come over if you didn't shove some food into your face right now. A cat who has, for example, lost a beloved companion might behave similarly. He leaves his food untouched for days, even ignoring treats. He hides under the bed. He's different about grooming because, sigh, what's the point? And he sleeps even more than his usual 18 hours per day. How to help? What a depressed cat needs more than anything is patience and TLC. Coax him out of hiding with toys and treats while talking in soothing tones. Also try Tellington Touch or T-Touch, which involves massaging him in circular motions and give him a familiar blanket or article of clothing. If all else fails, your vet can prescribe antidepressants. 2. Your cat is acting weird because she's stressed. She hates change more than the most neurotic person you know, and since you moved, she's been in full-blown fight-or-flight mode. Your new apartment is smaller, and all of your furniture is different. You also just started a full-time job, so she's alone most of the day. Stress might be one of the reasons behind a cat acting weird. How to help? Disrupt your cat's routine as little as possible by keeping her in a separate room with her toys, litter box, food, and bed while you pack and move. Then keep her in a safe room at your new place while you unpack and rearrange. Being surrounded by familiar items and smells will help her feel more at home. Additionally, before starting a new job, ease your cat into the routine by leaving her alone for increasing intervals each day and showering her with treats and attention when you return. 3. A cat acting weird might feel threatened. You just brought home a new cat, and your old cat wants her dead. They run shrieking across the room, a foot race that ends in a furious flurry of fur. You're afraid to leave them alone together, and they pee everywhere except the litter box. How to help? Take a page from my Cat from Hell television host, Jackson Galaxy. He makes sure that each cat has a safe place to eat and use the litter box, and he creates escape routes with cat trees and shelves. This lets cats know their territory is not under siege. Playing with the cats simultaneously can also redirect the energy they normally use to beat the you-know-what out of each other. 4. Your cat is acting weird because she's sick. It's merely an inconvenience when you step in a lukewarm pile of kitty kibble barf mash at 6 a.m., but it can become worrisome if your cat's vomiting happens daily. It doesn't help that evolutionarily a sick cat is a dead cat. Therefore, cats are excellent at hiding signs of illness. Your cat isn't eating, drinks excess water, seems lethargic, hides for more than a day, stops using the litter box, or suddenly changes temperament, she might be telling you something is wrong. The protrusion of her third eyelid can also indicate illness. How to help? Odds are it's nothing major, but to be sure you're not overlooking a potentially serious health problem, a cat acting weird with these symptoms should be seen by a vet. 5. A cat acting weird might not be your biggest fan. Well, technically, this might be your boyfriend's cat, but just the two of you don't jibe. You try to pet him, and he hides under the coffee table. Then he emerges a few minutes later and lavishes your boyfriend with headbutts right in front of you. How to help? Realize that sometimes a cat acting weird simply might not like you. Just like humans, cats have distinct personalities, so you're not going to get along with all of them. They're kind of like children. Even though we're not supposed to have a favorite, we do. Next, we'll move on to an article titled, What It Means to Be a Tabby Cat, by Sandy Robbins. Although cat lovers can all agree on their love for the tabby cat, many aren't quite clear as to what tabby really means. It's common to talk about tabbies as if they represent a cat breed, but they don't. In fact, the word tabby denotes a coat pattern, and they don't represent just one breed. The pattern is common in many breeds. The origin of the word tabby has an uncertain history. Some claim the name is associated with a type of striped patterned silk called a tabby, made in Tabia in the Middle East. Others claim that it comes from the translation of the French phrase striped silk taffeta, the root of which is tabby, meaning a rich watered silk. Tabby coat colors and patterns. Tabbies come in many different colors, including brown, gray, and a variety of red shades, often called orange, ginger, or marmalade. Some have stripes and others spots, and many a combination of the two. You can tell what color a tabby is by looking at the color of his stripes at the tip of the tail. The tabby pattern is determined by the agouti gene, which causes the individual hairs to have bands of light and heavy pigmentation, and the tabby gene, which denotes the type of tabby patterns, namely stripes, blotches, or spots of hairs of solid color. Research done by feline geneticists Carlos Driscoll and Leslie Lyons at the beginning of the millennium confirmed 5 genetic clusters or lineages of wildcats from various parts of the world, such as Africa, Europe, China, Central Asia, and the Middle East, and dating back some 10,000 years to be the ancestors of today's ubiquitous domestic tabbies. And it's easy to understand how a coat with stripes and spots could camouflage well into natural surroundings. 4 tabby coat patterns. 1. The classic tabby coat, sometimes called blotched, has wide dark stripes curving over the flanks and the shoulders and 3 large stripes running from the shoulder blades to the base of the tail. It's often likened to a marble cake. The mackerel tabby, number 2, has either continuous or broken stripes running perpendicular to the spine like a fishbone. The spotted tabby has distinct round spots against a background of lighter fur. And 4th, the 4th tabby coat pattern is called ticked or agouti. The coat on the body has almost no stripe, however the legs, tail, and face sport very thin stripes. Facial features of tabbies. Another distinguishing feature common to tabbies is their facial markings that include a distinctive M on their foreheads and expressive pencil-thin stripe markings around the eyes, affectionately referred to as eyeliner. This is where legend pushes genetics aside with these intriguing notions as to how these markings came about. 1. The Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam, was an acknowledged cat lover. It is said that the M marking on the forehead of the tabby cat was created when he rested his hand on the brow of his favorite cat. 2. Christians believe that when newborn baby Jesus wouldn't stop crying, a cat climbed into the manger and started to purr, sending him off to sleep. In gratitude, the Virgin Mary marked the cat's face with the first letter of her name. And 3. A non-religious version suggests that the M is a set of frown lines, the result of the cat staring at a mouse hole in concentration, waiting for the mouse to emerge. Tabby cat personality traits. When it comes to personality traits, tabbies are considered friendly, happy-go-lucky cats, intelligent, sassy, very affectionate, and wonderful companions. Red tabbies, often called orange, ginger, and marmalade tabbies, can be feisty and bossy, but this trait is linked to coat color, as in fiery red, and not to the tabby pattern. No matter the science behind tabbies, if you're a cat person, you've undoubtedly been enchanted by a tabby cat, whether it's your own fabulous feline, a tabby that works in a local store, or even a cartoon tabby such as Garfield, who identifies the very human trait of hating Mondays. And here are some famous tabby cats. Number 1, Garfield is the world's most famous cartoon orange tabby. 2, the first Algonquin cat was an orange tabby that hotelier Frank Case named Rusty. The cat was a stray and had wandered into the hotel seeking refuge from the rain. He was renamed Hamlet by the actor John Barrymore, who played the Danish prince on Broadway. All the male Algonquin cats have since been Hamlet, and the current feline is Hamlet the 8. 3. Orangey was the orange tabby that starred with Audrey Hepburn in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. 4. Tabby cats feature in a myriad of advertisements on TV endorsing their popularity as beloved family members. 5. Sir Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom twice, loved orange tabbies. Was his dying wish that a marmalade-colored tabby with 4 white socks and a white bib named Jock should reside in perpetuity at Chartwell, his ancestral home in Kent, England. The incumbent cat at Chartwell is Jock the 4th and visited by Eleorophiles from around the world. And finally, number 6, Morris, an orange tabby, became the world's first spokescat for Nine Lives Cat Food and has been one of the most recognizable tabby faces in the United States since 1969. The current spokescat is the 5th to represent the brand. Next, we'll move on to an article from Animal Wellness Magazine. with an article titled Coal and Marmalade, Cats with a Cause by Animal Wellness Staff Writers. From homeless to famous, these two social media cats are using their voices to raise awareness for pet adoption and FIV, and they sure look cute doing it. With nearly 4 million followers across their social media platforms, Cole and Marmalade are nothing short of legendary. These two felines and their humans, Chris and Jess Poole, spend their days creating adorable photos and binge-worthy videos to share on their Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter feeds, and the world is obsessed with the result. While the creative content draws people in, it's passion for animal advocacy that keeps them coming back. They're using their platforms to promote pet adoption and break down stigmas surrounding Black and FIV-positive cats, and the impact they've made to date is outstanding. To learn more about their life and goals, we sat down with Chris to ask him a few questions. How did it all begin? Tell us Cole and Marmalade's adoption story. Chris says, back in 2012, I was working at Big Cat Rescue in Tampa, Florida, as the videographer. Me and my wife, Jess, were both living on the property in a trailer when Jess's friend texted us that she found a black kitten. Somehow she managed to see the kitten in her rearview mirror, pulled up over and scooped him up. He was all on his own, and she contacted us because she knew we were crazy cat people. We saw his pic and picked him up the next day, and that's how it all began. Cole was only around 5 to 6 weeks old when we adopted him, and because he was so young, he bonded with us very closely. He also got to look at leopards out the window as he grew up. And how many years later did you get Marmalade? In 2013, a year later, a friend of a friend who owned Marmalade's mom was trying to find a home for baby Marmalade. He was the only surviving kitten of his litter. His two siblings had died, and our friend was either going to take Marmalade to the Humane Society or release him outside within a local feral colony. When we received the text message and pic from them, we couldn't say no. We'd been thinking about adopting a friend for Cole for a while, and Ginger Kitties kept getting my attention. So we saw this as a sign from the cat gods and picked him up the next day. When and why did you decide to start an Instagram account for them? The first account we started was YouTube. I just used my personal account and began to upload Cole vids. Then a friend of ours told us that black cats have a harder time getting adopted, and most are likely to be euthanized because of overcrowding at animal shelters. That's the reason I started making more cat videos. I grew up with a black cat as a kid, and they've always been my favorites. So when I learned that people still think they're bad luck and choose cats with fancier markings and colors at shelters, I decided to make it my new hobby to show people how cool Cole was and why they'd be lucky to be owned by a black cat. So that became my new mission on my weekends, and I wasn't making videos of tigers and lions at Big Cat Rescue. And then, of course, we started a Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram account to spread the message as far as possible. Has the purpose of the account changed over time? Not really. We still try to educate as well as entertain with our posts. The pressure has definitely increased now, though. Because we're so well known, I feel like we can't just do what some famous cats do and post silly content all the time. We do need to use our popularity to continue to educate and make positive difference. We promote adoption, spay, neuter, and compassion towards community cats and getting involved with TNR. You also use your platform to spread feline FIV awareness. Why this disease? Marmalade is actually FIV positive, so we learned a lot over the past 7 years about the disease and cat health in general. Marmalade tested negative as a kitten, and we weren't made aware that you should retest when they are older since kitten tests are unreliable. So we discovered Marmalade had lymphoma in 2014. We were tested then, and he was FIV positive. At first, we didn't know much about the disease and thought we might have to separate Marmalade from Cole and panicked. We learned a lot about FIV, and although it sounds scary, it's really not a big deal and can be easily managed, and FIV-positive cats can live just as long as FIV-negative cats. What a story. No wonder you're so passionate about it. So what's the ultimate message you're trying to spread? The message we're trying to spread is that if you see FIV-positive on the cage card of a cat at a shelter, please don't let that be a deal-breaker for you. Those three letters scare so many people away, and it's really a shame. We like to say that FIV-positive cats are positively adoptable. Since Marmalade is very popular, we like to highlight the fact that he's FIV-positive, so people see him in videos running around being crazy and having fun, which shows that his disease isn't something to worry about. We also made a fact sheet and send to people so they can print it out and display it at their local shelter vet to spread the message. Sounds like you're a huge advocate for animal adoption. Tell us about some of the rescue initiatives you're currently involved with. We're actively involved in TNR, trap and release, and rescue work. I get messages all the time from people needing help and advice with cats and kittens, and if they're local, I do my best to get there, trap, and help however I can. It gets kind of overwhelming at times, but I do my best to save as many lives as possible and help stop the cycle of suffering. What's next for you, Cole and Marmalade? What are some of your short and long-term goals? We're just trying to keep up with everything, keeping content that people can relate to, helping get more people involved in rescue work. I'd really like to do more to connect with children. We have so many younger fans. I really like to do stuff to inspire and educate them to be crazy cat people when they're older. They're quite characters. For our readers who want to find you online, what are your social media handles? It's at Cole and Marmalade on Instagram and at Cole the Black Cat on Twitter. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine, and we'll start with an article called Boys, Girls, and Behaviors by Annie Phoenix. As a professional dog trainer and dog aficionado, I've had the privilege of sharing my 50-plus years on the planet with a multitude of dogs. I've had as many female dogs as I've had male dogs. When I think about adding a new family member, I give serious thought about whether a female or male dog would fit best in our home. Perhaps you do the same or have a strong preference for one sex over the other. I wanted to look at some perceived differences because the pet parents who prefer one sex over the other often tend to feel quite strongly about it. I love all dogs and I don't have a strong preference. I go first by temperament and good health markers and then get down to whether the dog is male or female. I am curious as to what pet parents, fellow trainers, and behavior experts thought about canine sex differences, so I asked my Facebook group of nearly 2,000 dog fans to weigh in. It's funny that some of the behaviors attributed strongly to one sex were also attributed to the other. Here's a sampling of behavioral differences noted by dog owners and trainers who I asked for their feedback. Perceptions about female dogs. Females are smarter and better problem solvers. Females can seem to be more aloof than males. Females are gentler. Females are more independent. Females rule the house. Females are more serious, they're more vocal, and they mature faster. They tend to worry more. Females are not as quick to please. Females are more protective. Females are more aggressive and territorial with each other. Females sense danger better. And female dogs can't pee on your coat on the back of your chair. This one made me laugh and then laugh harder, who have said many female dogs can and have peed at clothing hanging on the back of a chair. Perceptions about male dogs. Male dogs are more cuddly. They're more interested in pleasing their owners. Males are more excited about food. They're more protective. They're more willing to leave their person to defend against a threat. Males are more laid back and more easily distracted. Males are more needy, and males are great fun. Males are more demonstrative. Males are more likely to spend longer time in the shelter. A female dog loves you, but a male dog is in love with you. It's interesting to see these perceptions of any differences in sex in dogs. I share my life and have for 14 years with two sibling border collies. My male Radar is more aloof by far than my female Echo. Echo is way more cuddly. Both are protective of me. Echo is more serious, and Radar is more laid back. Echo is way more needy than her brother. While some perceptions of differences are similar, they are not proven. Some may indeed be true, but they're really not backed up by science. The bottom line is that all dogs are individuals, just as we humans are. You may very well show your preferences that come from the dogs you have shared your life with. The important thing is to provide for and love the dog in front of you, and not put human expectations on that dog. Next, we'll move on to an article in my favorite section, Why Do Dogs Lick Themselves Before Sleeping? By Martha M. Everett. Ah, sleep, the peaceful pleasure. Slurp. As I was saying, sweet slumber, drifting, drifting, slurp. Few things are more annoying than the wet, sloppy sound of a dog licking himself when you've just crawled into bed. It's like nails on a chalkboard, especially when it won't stop. Why do dogs lick themselves before sleeping? Still of the night. A likely explanation is that the dog is merely grooming himself prior to going to sleep, says John Sirabasi, a doctor of veterinary medicine. Grooming while relaxed is a common cause for the behavior. It's also possible that the dog is licking throughout the day, but either we aren't home to notice or we notice it more at night when things are quiet and we are trying to sleep. The absence of the day's diversions allows the dog to notice things too, things that can lead to licking. When the day's activities catch up with him, a dog who is overexerted could be licking sore, stiff muscles. Conversely, an understimulated dog might lick out of boredom. Nocturnal gnawing. While several veterinarians and behaviorists told me they don't know why dogs specifically choose the time right before sleep to lick, there are theories. One theory, because it's annoying. Licking before sleeping can be attention-seeking behavior, and it usually works. Your dog slurps and you react by giving him attention, even if it's negative attention. The reaction can be inadvertently reinforce the behavior. In addition, self-licking for attention might occur due to misunderstanding. Praising a dog when he licks your face could lead the dog to associate reward with all forms of licking. Others suggest separation anxiety. If you and your dog sleep apart, the physical separation could trigger licking as a stress reliever, but it could be more deeply rooted. Some theorize that separation anxiety stems from maternal separation. Because mothers lick their pups to groom, show affection, and stimulate body functions, self-licking soothes by mimicking the maternal care. And licking has been shown to release body chemicals called endorphins that promote a sense of calm and comfort. Older dogs with canine cognitive dysfunction or dementia can develop sundown syndrome, which manifests itself in anxious and repetitive behaviors when the sun sets. While self-licking is not generally associated with sundown syndrome, it could be a contributing factor. Beyond a lap before nap. Simply taking advantage of the pause at the day's end for a hygienic lap of luxury is common and normal. But excessive licking, no matter what a time of day, could signal a medical or behavioral issue. Licking can have many causes, says Dr. Sira Vasi, founder of the Chicagoland Veterinary Behavior Consultants. Medically, skin disease, especially atopy, immune response to allergens, is at the top of the list. Fleas and mites, hormonal imbalance, and dry skin can irritate and cause itchiness. Allergies to food ingredients or environmental elements, such as pollen, mold, and dust, could be at play. Any condition causing pain, such as arthritis, cancer, trauma, can cause licking, says Dr. Sira Vasi, resident of Carroll Stream, Illinois, and diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. Gastrointestinal disorders causing nausea can result in licking as well, he says. Nausea can occur from eating illness or ingesting harmful substances. Obsessive licking in the tail could mean the anal glands need to be expressed. Or licking could be something as simply as trying to expel something foreign from the mouth, like a hair. Behaviorally, Dr. Sira Vasi says, compulsive disorders often related to anxiety can cause excessive licking. Anxiety can also be situational, for example, being in a new environment or when someone new is in the house. Behavioral issues that result in over-grooming can lead to physical problems, including hair loss, yeast and bacterial infections, and skin disorders such as hot spots, inflamed skin that is warm to the touch, and granulomas, thick red skin lesions. Lick the problem. Don't let licking cause the ticking away of your rest. Have the dog evaluated by his veterinarian, Dr. Sira Vasi advises. If the dog checks out normally on a medical basis, then get together with a behaviorist or veterinarian comfortable with dealing with behavior issues. There are tools to help lick self-licking. We're enriching your dog's life to skin-soothing shampoos, taste deterrent topical sprays and creams, calming supplements, pheromone therapies, security vests, soft collars, and anti-anxiety medication. Your vet can lead you in the right direction. Remember, licking in moderation can be good. Saliva aids wound healing, and everybody likes a clean dog. So if your dog's nighttime self-licking is just normal grooming, it's nothing to lose sleep over. And now we'll read an article titled Karma, the Biodetection Dog in Training by Wendy Newell. A dog's acute sense of smell lets him identify unique odors that cancer cells emit. It is assumed that each different cancer gives off a unique scent for the dog to alert to. There have been several double-blind studies conducted that show trained dogs can successfully sniff out cancer through biological samples like breath. The first of such tests were done in 2006. Here in the United States, we don't currently utilize biodetection dogs, BDD, which are pups trained in medical detection, including cancer. As of right now, U.S. insurance companies won't pay for BDD testing. There's also an issue with getting positive samples to train the dogs on. And there are questions about the science. Testing for BDD type cancer screening requires you to accept the unknown of a specific dog's personality. Scientists don't like unknowns that can alter conclusions in their experiments. Dr. Klaus Hackner of Austria did his own study in 2016 and had misgivings, telling Scientific American that BDD screening did not reflect the reality of mass cancer screenings in the real world. Asking a dog to sniff a high number of samples relatively few hits made Dr. Hackner believe that a handler would not be able to successfully provide enough positive feedback to the dog for him to stay engaged. Don't forget, for double-blind studies and in the real world, the handler doesn't even know which samples are positive to be able to give the dog feedback at the correct times. Whereas other detection dogs, like those in search and rescue, do many blank searches where there is no actual find and are still successful. Getting ready. One of the huge positives is that BDD cancer screeners seem to identify cancer much sooner than current methods. The sooner life-ending cancers can be identified, the higher the likelihood the treatment will be successful. Certified biodetection dog trainer and canine behaviorist Deirdre D.D. McElroy is giving the detection dogs under her tutelage ready to be able to start sniffing out cancer as soon as it's an accepted process in the United States. D.D. is certified in dog behavior, service dogs, therapy dogs, police canines, scent, and cancer detection. She also graduated from Texas A&M with a degree in biomedical science, which is extremely helpful when she's talking to doctors about the process of BDD. Almost any breed that likes to do a good job and likes to please can be a candidate, even short-legged, affectionate love bugs like bulldogs. DeeDee's star student is a 4-year-old black lab named Karma, owned by Sandy Wall. According to her human mom, Karma has been training with DeeDee at California Canine, a comprehensive training and behavior modification company founded by DeeDee for the majority of her life. To become a cancer-sniffing dog, the dog must be able to do scent detection and do it well. Karma has mastered this task and works with a scent rack. The scent rack looks like a long metal container with several holes that Karma can stick her nose into to smell what's inside. Since a dog's sense of smell is so keen, Karma probably knows where the positive sample is before getting to the rack, but she wants to make sure the human watching knows that she's doing her job. Karma will check each individual hole before alerting that she has found her target. DeeDee's goal is to train her dogs, including Karma, to sniff out prostate cancer and urine samples. It can make someone uneasy having a detection dog sniff them up and down while the energy a dog has while working. Using a sample like urine makes it an easier process for all involved. Karma is such a well-trained detection dog, it could only take a pup like her approximately 6 weeks of training with urine samples donated by men with prostate cancer to be ready when she is called to duty. Star pupil. Karma's talents don't stop at detection work. She's also an award-winning tricks and dock diving dog. She works hard on honing her detection work. She's personal protection trained, and she's also a licensed therapy dog spending time at St. Joseph's Hospital in Stockton, California. With so many jobs, it can be confusing which one she's supposed to be preparing for. To help Karma get into the mind frame of helping with her therapy work, she dons her uniform. Her uniform is several different costumes that help elevate the mood of her patients. A black lab dressed up as an angel, skeleton, butterfly, or even a banana sundae is sure to put a smile on anyone's face. Karma likes helping people, according to her mom. That's why Sandy would love for Karma to be able to become a cancer-sniffing dog. Karma likes all her jobs, but the one she has yet to do, sniffing out cancer, would be her most important and impactful one. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.